Good morning and welcome to the School for Successful Ranching. My name is Alexis Cowan and I'll be moderating the session today. At this time, I would ask that you would place your cell phones on silent and remove your hats so that everybody can see. There's a table in the back for them also. We would like to take time to thank our generous sponsors for the School for Successful Ranching for their support and for the commitment to producer education. They have small displays set up in the hallway on this floor, and we ask that you would visit their booths in the expo and say thank you. We couldn't do this program without them. Sponsors include Capital Farm Credit, Dow AgriSciences, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, Lone Star Ag Credit, Merck Animal Health, Stay Tough Fence Manufacturing, Bayer, Microtechnologies, DSRO, wow. Texas Range Small. Minerals, Neogen GeneSeq, Rabo AgroFinance, Texas Beef Quality Assurance, and Sylvius Insurance Group. If you are a new member to TSCRA, we are holding a new member orientation tomorrow at 1 p.m. in room 101. We hope you can come and learn more about what TSCRA does for you and the cattle industry. Our first presentation is Developing a Herd Health Plan, presented by one of the most popular speakers, Dr. Arne Anderson of Cross Timbers Veterinary Hospital. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Anderson.
You good?
Yep. I'm getting it up there for you. All right, it should be coming up.
Okay, while she's working on that, we'll go ahead and get started. Otherwise, I'll get more nervous. This is a really awkward room. Okay, it's really narrow and really long. I can't turn my head to the left, so y'all just out of luck, okay? If you got a big question, you're going to need to jump up and down, raise your hand, and scream, okay? I'm not going to get offended by it. Y'all over here are at a disadvantage, too, because I can turn my head to the right, and I'm going to ask you all the questions. Y'all in the middle, you're pretty safe, okay? So y'all are good. This is by far probably the most people I've ever spoken to, so... We'll see how this works today. We're going to need to start with a story because there's way too many people in here. I've been out of vet school for, some of you have probably heard this, I've been out of vet school for probably a month. I had left my family in Virginia because we didn't have the money to move them. And where I was at in central Missouri, the way we made money was you had to have clients, okay? It's on production. Well, I didn't have any clients, so I didn't make any money. And finally, on a Sunday afternoon, I got a call to go out and pull a calf. And it was at a really big operation that I'd already heard about. And so I wanted to make a really good impression and do a really good job. If I pick up anybody else's coffee as I'm walking around, just ignore it. That happened last week. Anyway, I drive up on this place, and some of y'all have seen a place like this. It was a big entryway, and it was lined by oak trees, and oak trees went for about a quarter of a mile till you got to the main house. And I drove down that road, and standing in the front yard was about four or five generations of this family. They all just came back from church. And they're all standing there, and they point over to a little hill, and they say the cow is up on top of that hill. And the whole family loads up in their vehicles, we load up in mine. Before I left the clinic, I packed enough equipment to do brain surgery on this cow. I had two or three of everything because I didn't want to be left out or forget something. So we all jumped in, we drove over there, and there's a creek at the bottom of the hill. Now, Missouri, you know, a creek is about from here to the other side of that table. That would be a river in Monte County. But it was a creek in Missouri, and it was running pretty full, and we were able to cross the creek on some rocks, and all the sons helped me carry all my equipment up to the top of the hill where the cow was. We had two or three buckets, two or three calf jacks, a couple surgery packs. We were going for broke. Got to the top of the hill, and it was a big Angus cow. And she was bloated about four times as big as she should have been. And she's laying on her side. I need to make a good impression. I want a client. I need to see my wife. This is all the stuff going through my head. So I went through all the procedures of getting my sleeves on and putting on gloves and scrubbing the cow, and I laid on my side and I stuck my arm in the cow, and this calf had been dead for several days. It was really blown up big. So I stood back up and I made my pronouncement, made my diagnosis, told them what we were going to do in the most scientific terms that I can ever think of. Okay? At that point, the cow stood up. She fell down. She rolled in over in all the way down the hill. She smacked into an oak tree and she died. So we gathered up all that equipment. We walked down to the bottom of the hill with everybody following me. What we hadn't realized is Grandma had crossed the creek. When Grandma saw the big cow rolling down, she took a step back. So now Grandma was in the creek. We were able to pull her out. We loaded up my truck. We got everything loaded back up. And I left, realizing that I would never practice in Pettis County again. And I would never see my wife. So I drove down that quarter mile of oak tree lined driveway, and it kept getting longer and longer, and it really turned into a nightmare to try to get to their gate. And I left that ranch. What I didn't realize was that family had been in the beef business since 1854. They'd seen everything. And they were all dying laughing in the front yard of their house. That was one of the funniest veterinary experiences they had ever seen. And they hired me. And 2 months later, I was able to bring my family out and start my veterinary practice. So there's a moral of this with this many people in a room. And that's always give your Aggie vet a second chance, okay? So we're going to dive into this today. This is a condensed version of what we do for Ranching 101. How many of y'all have been there? So don't give away any of the secrets, okay? We're going to try today to develop, or start to develop, tell you what it takes to develop a health plan. How many of y'all think a health plan is vaccinations? Raise your hand. Okay, this is an advanced group. We'll get started. Okay, the first question you got to ask is, why are you in the beef business? Why do you raise cows? Anybody, give me an answer. Don't look at the list and cheat, y'all. Give me an answer. Make money. That's not up there, is it? You see it up there? Okay, so let's try to play along with the game, okay? Why are you in the beef business? Somebody give me an answer. How many of y'all have cows? Raise your hand if you have cows. Okay, y'all over here, you're going to want to have cows, and those little bitty guys over here, you're going to want to have cows, right? Ag exemption. Okay, I'm going to have to change my list. Give me another one. Give me another answer. Here's what I hear. This is the first question we ask you when we come to your ranch to do a health plan. You got some people who want to raise really big horns. No offense to any of y'all in the room, but that's their goal, right? You want to raise bigger horns. Some like really pretty hides. Some like to pass on their ranch to their grandchildren. How many of y'all are doing that? Yeah, we have a lot of ranchers that have had the ranch in the family for a long time, and they want to make sure that it's around so they have something to give back. So that would be whoever said making money. Some of y'all actually want to raise beef, stuff you eat. What we need to all know from the very beginning of this presentation is that all of you eventually raise something that will be on somebody's plate, right? Okay. Some of y'all want to win all the ribbons at Houston and San Antonio and Fort Worth. Okay? We had one client that just wanted to have 11 Brangus in his front yard for his lawyer firm party every year. We can meet his needs. It was really easy. We just needed to find somebody that would rent him some Brangus cows. Because he really didn't need them. They were only there just for show and tell. So we want to know what your goals are, right? In order to make a health plan, we sort of have to know what your final product's going to be. What are you going to sell? What is the gadget that you make? What is the thing that you think would make your ranching business successful? Who said taxes? So you need to know how many cows you need on how many acres you have, so when the assessor comes by, you pass the test, right? Okay, that'll work. But that's the first question we're going to ask you. That's the first question you need to know before you go to your veterinarian and say, I want a health plan. You got to know why you're in the business to begin with. How many of you are aware of this? Five freedoms. You guys aware of it? There's a difference between animal welfare and animal rights. Okay? Animal welfare is good animal husbandry. It's good animal science, right? So we need to pay attention to these. Your animals need to be free from hunger and thirst, discomfort, pain, injury, and disease. They got to be able to express normal behavior, and they don't need to be distressed. Why in an animal health plan would we ever even be worried about this? See, if I turn my whole body, I can see you guys. So it's not going to work, okay? Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Yeah, if you don't have these freedoms, then they'll have more health issues. They won't be able to mount an immune system response. They will get ill quicker. When do y'all get sick? When you're stressed out. Okay? So we're going to worry about the five freedoms as we develop your health plan. First, you're going to come to me and say, I'm raising beef because I want to raise the most quality beef per acre that I can do. And then we're going to come out and we're going to look at your place and see if we can qualify for all this. Here we go. We're going to look after your facilities. How many of y'all think your facilities are good? I see somebody from Montague County that's not raising his hand. We run into all kinds of stuff. Y'all have heard about bed springs, Chevy pickup truck beds. They work really well to turn cattle. Wire fences, old manual chutes with the front broke off. You got to make sure that your facilities are safe, not just for your cattle, but also for you. Does that make sense? We don't want to get hurt while we're trying to develop a health plan for your cattle. They have to be functional. So we had one farm call where they wanted us to come out and help them with a cow that had gone through their chute. When we got there, the problem was she had the head catch attached to her, and she was no longer attached to the chute. So now she was about 1,100 pounds of mad Brangus with, I don't know, 400 or 500 pounds of steel hooked to her head. You got to make sure that your facilities are functional and safe. How about clean? How many of y'all clean up around your working facilities? This is an advanced group. When I ask those questions, you're supposed to pretend that you don't do it. Okay, just, no, we don't do anything like that. It's important to clean up around your facilities, y'all. We end up standing on 3 feet of ear tags, last year's testicles, somebody else's horns, and then pretty soon you're higher than the chute. And it builds bacteria, it builds disease, it makes it dangerous for you, and it's not a good idea for your cows. We even had one veterinarian that every time they arrived at a ranch, she would walk the alleyway until she almost stepped on a rattlesnake. And then she started having the cowboys walk the alleyway. Make sure they're clean. Make sure it's convenient. What do I mean by that? If your cattle are on that 640 acres and your working facilities are 2 miles away, hard to get to, hard to use, what's the likelihood that you're actually going to process cows? Yeah, you're not going to do it. You're going to go to dart rifles, right? Oh, shake your head. Now, this is the time y'all can confess to me and tell me you use a dart rifle. The main reason we use those is for entertainment. It's a lot of fun to have your 10-year-old son lean out the window of a pickup going 20 miles an hour and say, shooter. You feel like Wild Kingdom, right? From the safety of the vehicle, I watch as Junior darts the rhino. Make sure your facilities are complete, that you have all the working parts, very much like the head catch that was hooked to the cow, that everything works. And then I just put down that your facilities include working, holding, and storage. So if you're keeping your vaccines and all your drugs in an old toolbox that's out in the sun, that's not good storage. If your holding facilities include the side of your house, a vehicle, we use a lot of vehicles in Monte counties to corral cattle. They work really well until the cow gets in the back of the pickup. So I had to go pull a calf, another calf one time, over by Forestburg, Texas, and we always ask a question before we come out. We say, is the cow caught? Right? We need to know if the cow is confined to where we can get to. It makes common sense, doesn't it? And he said, yes. So we had different definitions of caught. His included about a 500-acre trap with some fencing on the perimeter. And his facilities included a brand-new four-door Dodge pickup truck. Still had the stickers in the window. So his idea, which we followed, to be polite, he would rope the cow and snub her off to his trailer hitch, and then we would pull the calf. What he forgot to do was suck up the slack. And so she just became a pendulum, and she'd swing into that one front door, and then she'd come around and bash in the other one. By the time we got his calf pulled, he needed a new pickup truck. So make sure your facilities are functional and working. So now you're getting ready to work cattle. You're getting ready to develop a health plan. You visited with your veterinarian. You've sat down with him or her, and you've said, this is why I'm raising cattle. Please come to my place and look at my facilities. I've cleaned them up. I built a new pen. I've got a good chute. The head catch is firmly bolted to the chute. Some other things we can take care of. How many of y'all are certified for BQA? How many of y'all know what BQA is? Beef Quality Assurance. We start sticking drugs and vaccines and dewormers and porons and fly tags and number tags, and pretty soon, what's the final end of our product, all of us? It's something on somebody's plate, right? You're going to eat it. Even if you have your cows named, soon you will eat Bluebonnet. Shake your head. We worked on one ranch for a long time, and my technician had that bull named. He'd been at our hospital for 2 months. We went out to the ranch to do some other work, and they served us a brisket. My technician will not eat there anymore. That was the bull she named. Okay. Process verification. So all of y'all need to get online. There's a lot of ways to do it. Get online and become BQA certified. Okay? The next thing is a process verification. At some point, somewhere, sometime, you're going to have a problem in your cows. We've got one going on now in Monte County, and it's very important that we know when cattle were vaccinated with what? The serial numbers, the expiration dates, the name of the product. Somebody needs to verify what you've been doing. Maybe it's just your records. Maybe, again, it's your veterinarian. But keep records. Everybody good? Y'all are quiet. Did y'all not go to Starbucks this morning? Okay, we're also going to ask you, depending on what your final product is, what kind of testing we need to do for cattle that you're buying. And we do all kinds of testing. It's a question I asked at Ranching 101 last week. Somebody said, when is the time I should go get a veterinarian? And it's before you buy your first cow, right? You're going to buy a very expensive investment. You're going to bring it out there, and you need to know what to do with it when you get it. So part of this is your veterinarian telling you, okay, if you're going to be buying these cattle, this is the testing that you need to do. That would be like BVD, Yoni's, Trick, okay? Health certificates, make sure you're just obeying the law. I need you guys to be an advocate of regulatory, Texas Department, Texas Animal Health Commission. You need to be an advocate, not an adversary. So when your veterinarian is telling you you need health papers or you need this test or you need that test, you really need to join. and not fight. Does that make sense? Everybody's still sleepy. Okay. Observation means I just want you to be watching what you're doing, watching your cattle, and getting to know your cows. Any questions so far? Wow. Laramie, you don't have a question? Just make one up.
Why do you say we should join in with the advocate, not advocate?
Okay, so the Texas Animal Health Commission is trying to protect your product, trying to protect your business, correct? Yeah. And so the best way we can do that is have people in the field that are watching out for disease, that are watching out for problems. And the first line of defense is you. The second line of defense is your veterinarian. And so when we need to write health papers to ship your cattle across state lines, that's a federal law, and we need to follow up on it. There are good points about them. They are a pain in the... Okay. Biosecurity. How many of y'all have a biosecurity plan at your ranch? Oh, good. Either you're lying, because I told you to, or we can make some headway here. Biosecurity is the whole idea that it's a whole lot less expensive to prevent the disease from ever showing up on your ranch than it is to treat it. Does that make sense? So what happens when you send your kid to daycare? They all come back sick. They're like Typhoid Mary. They bring everything back into your house, and then your whole family gets ill, right? So the cattle are the same way. What we want to do is prevent it from ever showing up at any time, anywhere. So again, you're going to sit down with your veterinarian. You're going to say, I'm getting into the beef business, and I want to buy 30 Simmental cows, and I'm going to breed them to an Angus bull, and you tell them what you're going to do and what your plan is and where you're going to buy your cows. And then he or she is going to say, okay, let's stop. How can we prevent you from getting disease in the first place? So you need a formal biosecurity plan, something that's written down, so that you can actually follow it. It's a whole lot less expensive, and we'll be looking for breaks in your armor. How many of y'all know what a closed herd, the definition of a closed herd is a herd that has no outside influence, right? Very few of us have a closed herd. We have bad fences, we have bad neighbors, we have both. We bring new bulls in, we bring new cows in, the neighbor stalkers come across your land while you're calving. You have wild pigs. Who doesn't have wild pigs? Where do you live? We can make this change for you. Yeah, we can bring you some. Okay, so wild pigs are really great in Monte County. You carry lepto, which is a disease we'll talk about here in a minute. And they tear everything up, including your fences. So nobody really has a closed herd. Eventually, you're going to bring somebody in. And our goal as your veterinarian developing your herd health plan is to sit down and say, how can we let that cow come into your place and not bring disease? So if you, in our operation, if we get you all fired up and we get you online, and you go buy 5 new heifers, you come to the Fort Worth sale and you buy 5 new heifers and you take them home, we're going to lock them up in isolation for 30 days. We're going to vaccinate them into your herd. So they're going to be vaccinated. I don't care where they came from. We're going to vaccinate them just like your herd is vaccinated. We're going to test them for BVD. We may test them for bovine leukosis. We're going to deworm them twice. At the end of 30 days, we're going to do it all over again. And then you can kick them out. So when you go to that bull sale and you buy that really good bull from the top place in the whole state of Texas, and you drive home with that bull, what do most of you do? You open that tailgate and tell your wife, look how pretty he is. And I did that the other day. Well, it was a year ago. I bought a really nice bull, and I turned him loose, and then I found out my wife didn't think he was pretty. But I thought he was a good-looking bull. But y'all, we all do that. We go to these sales, and people at sale will say, well, they're vaccinated for everything. They're semen tested. They're trick tested. It's a reputable breeder. And then you take it home and kick them out. I don't want you to do that anymore. Your veterinarian should set up a biosecurity plan for you. You should isolate them, re-semen test them, re-trick test them, reevaluate that bull and vaccinate him into your herd. Everybody get it? Shake your head, y'all. At least we'll do some kind of yoga or something this morning. Okay. We're going to recommend all those tests to you. We're going to discuss animal health with you. We want you to be a purist. What do I mean by that? That means you really are stickler for the rules, right? If we say quarantine them for a month and you're going to quarantine them for 14 days, are you a purist? No. If we say vaccinate them in your herd and you open your tailgate and hot shot the bull off your trailer, are we allowed to say hot shot? Where's my moderator? We're allowed? Okay. I just want to make sure. What is a VCPR? Really? Are y'all lying to me? You're just trying to humor me now because I told you to, right? A veterinary client-patient relationship. Now, there was a class where I had explained what that relationship is. It's a business relationship, okay? This is where your veterinarian has come out and you've made contact with him or her. You have this biosecurity plan. You have a health plan. They know what you're doing. They know what you're trying to do. If you want to get prescriptions in the state of Texas, you have to have one of these, period. If you want to have antibiotics in your feed, you have to have one of these. None of y'all knew what that was? You got TCU on the front of your vest, and I certainly knew who that was. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you got to have one of those. So you go and you find your veterinarian before you even buy cows, and then you have that relationship, right? Okay, let's keep moving. Isn't that pretty? Yes, sir, go ahead. Okay.
So what, if anything, can we do to isolate ourselves?
Okay, so it's a good question. If the question is, we got neighbors on the other side that have a casual attitude toward herd health, and you think you might be getting diseases from them coming over your fence. Happens all the time. They go nose to nose, and they spread it. So first of all, take your neighbor out and get a cup of coffee, right? Shake your head, man. Give me some help here. Okay, take your neighbor out, get a cup of coffee, explain to them what's going on, and they're going to tell you our animals don't have ringworm and they don't have foot rot. So we don't even want our cows next year's. So it's a pretty bad deal, but at least make sure that they know that you're aware that our cattle are nose to nose, okay? Then this actually happened right outside of Nakona. It's a different disease, but the same idea. So what he did, and it worked really well, was you back off, about 25 yards, and you put up an electric fence. And so when you graze cattle in that pasture, they're not nose to nose anymore. Make sense? The next thing you want to do is you don't want to calve there at all. You want to calve somewhere else. The animals in your group that are most likely to get diseases, such as the ones you just mentioned, are young animals because they don't have any immunity to it. So we don't want to calve next to our neighbors. And if your neighbors are running stalkers and they're casual about their herd health, most stalkers are being put together all over the state or all over the southeast, and they're bringing all kinds of stuff. So don't put your mama cows next to them. That's what your veterinarian will design for you, because we're going to look at a map of your ranch. We're going to talk about your neighbors, talk about the sources, the kinks, the holes in your armor. Where are you going? What are you bringing onto your place? What are the chances of disease? It's a good question. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so I need to make sure I understand it. So you went and you buy some cows and you bring them, you put them in your isolation, and you hold them 30 days and they come down with a disease. So your veterinarian's going to determine if he or she can treat that disease and get rid of it, or if it's something that we can't treat. Yeah, if it's in the ground, like blacklegs in our ground, there's not a whole lot we can do for it except protect your cattle. Okay? Some diseases we can't treat, and you don't want them in your herd at all. And that's what we test for, like BVD, like yonis, like BLV. These are all diseases that sort of hang around for a really long time, and they don't go anywhere, but they can ruin your herd. Did that help?
Yes.
Sort of, maybe? Okay, back to the really pretty picture of Monte County. Biocontainment. So we prevent disease from coming on your ranch, right? We stop disease from coming on your ranch, and you still have that outbreak. Where are you at? There you are. You still have blackleg pops up. We turn all these heifers loose, one dies of blackleg. Now what are we going to do? That's where biocontainment comes in. So your veterinarian will sit down with you, and he's going to tell you, when you get a sick animal, this is what I want you to do. And he or she might give you a veterinary directive. That's going to be something where you have all your antibiotics and drugs listed that he or she wants you to have, and how you're going to use them, and when you should use them. You're going to have an action plan for when you get sick cows. So that kid at daycare, he gets sick, and he's running a fever. Do they have an action plan for you? Yeah, you can't bring him back. And it's not fair to sit him on the front porch of the daycare. That doesn't work either. You can't take him back till the fever breaks, correct? You need the same kind of plan for your cows. You need the same kind of plan. We want to slow the spread. It's like putting your finger in a dike. We'll have a plan with treatment protocols. If this, then that. This is when you call us. This is what you can treat at home. And all of that is based on your experience as cattlemen. If you're new to the cattle industry, your veterinarian may write down, call me if they sneeze. Okay? So then we have treatment points and action points. All that is when do you treat, what's considered sick, what's considered healthy, when do you call the vet? When do you set the place on fire and leave? That was a joke. Don't do that. Okay. We also want to get to the bottom of it and have a diagnosis. We don't always get to a diagnosis, but it's important that you have some idea of what diseases are affecting your cattle. So if you had blackleg, it's important to actually document that it was blackleg. It's important to get to the bottom of it so that you can have a full follow-through. Is it something we can prevent? Is it something where we need to sell the cattle to slaughter? Is it something where we need to depopulate and start over? And we've had all of those. Any questions on biosecurity, biocontainment? This is part of that discussion you have with your veterinarian before you ever buy cows. He's going to tell you what diseases are in your area. He's going to tell you what problems they see. They're going to tell you how you're going to prevent it, how you're not going to buy it, how you're going to treat it when it happens. So this is important stuff. This is far more important than sticking a needle in your cow. Everybody agree? Okay, this would normally is what everybody always wants, are vaccines. So we're going to talk vaccines for a minute. Just for respiratory disease in cattle, there are over 200 vaccines. Do y'all know that? You can go in and get any combination, several manufacturers, several products, all for the same disease. Which ones are any good? How many industry people do I have in the room? Okay, good. I can be as politically incorrect as I want. I think there's about 4 manufacturers that do a really good job. Okay? There's about 4 of them. Not all vaccines are equal. Did y'all know that? So some are for the prevention of disease. Some are for some prevent colonization. Some prevent infection. There's 5 different classifications of vaccines. Get your bottle out and read the bottle. And then go to the web, go to the internet, and look it up. How good is my vaccine, the number 1 level or the number 5 level? How many of y'all think about it, do we base our choice of vaccines on price? The cheapest vaccine is better, correct? We get that all the time. This vaccine has the same letters on it that this vaccine does, and this one is a lot cheaper. So I'm going to buy this one. We're going to get down here to the bottom of some things that you need to remember. There's cheap is not always best. No vaccines are 100%. Everybody get it? You can vaccinate for black plague on those cattle you just bought, and then they're going to die of black plague. Was it your vaccine's fault? I don't know. Who said yes? Just makes you so you can sue the company. Are y'all lawyers? See, that right there, I got to be better. Okay, so some things we're worried about are duration of immunity and time to onset. What do I mean? If you stick your cow with this vaccine, how long is it going to be protected from that disease? Are you really lawyers? No, okay. How long when I give this vaccine are they going to be protected from disease? Duration of immunity. So there's some lepto vaccines that we give, and they last 3 months. And there's some that we give, and they last 12 months. Which one do you want to give? It depends on your program. What's your goal? How long are you going to keep your cows? How long are you going to keep those heifers? Are you just going to breed them and sell them? Are you going to get them out of there in 90 days? Go ahead. Yes, sir. Can we have an amen from the back row? Now, there's a role. So I am charged with writing a magazine article that's called "Do We Really Need Vets Anyway?" I'm the wrong person to ask that question to. But the idea behind it is, we can buy most of this stuff without a veterinarian. It may show up later, so if it does, I apologize. At least. That's all I could count. Right. So one of the most important questions, I think it pops up on another slide later, so just ignore it. And when your veterinarian or your drug salesman or whoever you're getting your information from, but especially your veterinarian, when they say, use this product, I want you to vaccinate with this vaccine, you should say why. You should say, why do I vaccinate with that vaccine? And they have to have an answer for you. If it's because we get the biggest rebate, it's what I have on the shelf, those aren't good answers. You're trying to protect your cattle, so you want to know. If they say, use this dewormer, how am I doing on time? Good. Okay. If they say, use this dewormer, you need to ask why. Right? This is an important investment to you. You need to know everything that's going into it. You should do a better job, in my mind, with your veterinarian than you do with yourself. How many of y'all ever ask why when you go to the doctor? Okay. Yeah. One guy. You married a doctor. That's like these lawyers back here. Okay. No vaccines are 100%. Cheap is not always the best. Remember, you need to know the duration of immunity and the time to onset. So we have some vaccines that take 28 days to take effect. It doesn't help if you're trying to prevent tetanus, which will kill your cow or kill your steer in 8 days. He's already going to be dead. He won't get tetanus. Right? There are some vaccines that take effect tomorrow morning. If you're in a stocker operation and you have a lot of potential commingling, when do you want the vaccine to take effect? Right now, not tomorrow morning. Some vaccines just sort of help decrease the problem. They don't prevent the disease, they just sort of slow it down. You may want that, but your veterinarian needs to tell you why. And these are two very important questions to ask. How long is the vaccine going to last, and how long till it takes effect? Really simple. Okay, remember that vaccines are only part of a health program. The first thing you do is you build that program. You're going to talk about biosecurity. You're going to talk about biocontainment. You're going to buy healthy animals. You're going to do the testing that you need to do. You're going to isolate them. You're going to keep them. We're going to go over some other stuff here in a minute, like nutrition and parasite control. You can stick vaccines in a sick calf, and they're not going to do any good at all. Correct? You might as well pour it on their back and I can't say go get a beer, so go get a coffee, okay?
If
Say that again, sir.
Geographical location can be an important factor.
It's absolutely mandatory. If you don't have the disease in your neck of the woods, why are you vaccinated for it? So we got caught a few years back. There was a disease called Histophilus somnus. Okay, it's a respiratory disease. It causes other problems, but let's just call it a respiratory disease for now. And it was a Canadian disease. Now, you can't get any more Yankee than Canada, correct? We didn't have it. One thing we like to do is walk into your health plan and take your vaccines away from you. Why put them in the cow if we don't need them? So we took Histophilus somnus out of the protocols. All of them, across the board. 3 years later, we had Histophilus somnus. It came up actually from South Texas. How it got there from Canada, I don't have a clue. But then the conversation continues. The vaccine you have for Histophilus somnus is not very effective. It's about 50% effective. It doesn't last very long. Should you give it anyway? There's a whole science to this. People spend their entire life studying vaccines. The endotoxins they release, how well they work, what kind of immunity they give. So it's hard to get this information from your feed store. Make sense? So the guy that said you need a veterinarian, you're just making me smile. Okay, so let's move on. So earlier I asked the question, is that the vaccine's fault? You give the black leg vaccine and they all die of black leg. Is it the vaccine's fault? If you look at this graphic, and it's sort of hard to read, but unsatisfactory vaccine, there's just two little things over there, the wrong strain, inadequate vaccine, and look how much of it is your fault on this side. We have had bad vaccines. Okay, we had one that had BVD in it that killed a whole bunch of calves. But 90% of the time, it's not the vaccine's fault. So why do your drug companies run in and pay you for all that vaccine? It's just goodwill. They want you to like their company, correct? It's not that their vaccine was failed. You may have given it wrong. You may have given it to animals, failed them out in response because they're half sick. Maybe you mixed it incorrectly. Maybe you gave it at the wrong time. How many of y'all vaccinate for pink eye? This time I really need a show of hands. How many vaccinate for pink eye? When do you vaccinate? Anybody? I'm staring at you. That's I can't get my head back around. Yeah, you know, if you really, I actually called the guy that invented the pink eye antigen that's in every single pink eye vaccine, the base of it. And he said, well, you got to do it a month before they get infected. When do they get infected? Yeah, I got winter herds, I got summer herds, I got herds that get it every now and then. I got stalkers that bring it in. It's a tough vaccine to use. So prevention is better, and your veterinarian will sit down and he'll tell you, this has a lot of endotoxins in it, you don't want to use it. We're going to look at preventing the disease through management, not through vaccine. Okay, so what's Clostridium? Same family of bugs that causes tetanus, same family of bug causes botulism and anthrax. And ma'am, it's the same one that causes blackleg. And it's everywhere. It's in your soil. It's in your calves. So what if you work a whole lot of calves today and you run them through the chute and they bruise their shoulders and they're not vaccinated? About 8 days from now, they fall over dead. So Clostridium is a big one. If you're taking notes on what vaccine that we should use, that we should have, that's the most common one in the world. And it really interested me this week. We had another problem. I was doing a what's called a literature review, and there's not a lot of good research on the vaccine. It's been around for 60, 70 years. It works really well, but nobody's really tried it. Nobody's really investigated it, which blows my mind. There's just not a lot of money in it, and so there's not a lot of research dollars behind it. What's BRD? Yeah, you can put a C after that if you want to make it a complex. Okay, it's bovine respiratory disease. It's stuff like IBR, BVD, PI3, BRSV. It's the entire alphabet. It's all the respiratory diseases that we've been trying to prevent forever. We come up with great new vaccines, and they really work. and then we get more respiratory disease. We have antibiotics that will really just sterilize a cow, and they still die. It's a management deal. What if you spread your animals out real far? What if instead of one room in an old house, your daycare was a gymnasium? How many kids would get sick? Less. You're not crowded, right? Remember, we go back to animal welfare. We go back to letting your animals be not stressed and letting them have normal behavior. Okay, so BRD is a big one. You have to have protection for BRD. How about lepto? Leptospirillia. Yeah, we got a lot of it. If you got wild hogs, and you that don't have wild hogs, we're more than willing to help you. We'll bring them to you. We tested hogs in Dr. Armstrong's county several years back, and we tested wild hogs that we caught. If any of y'all want an exciting job, you have to actually catch them with a lariat in a trailer and then bleed them out of their eye. It's exciting. The vast majority of those hogs were positive for about four forms of lepto. Lepto can cause liver problems, kidney problems. The big thing it does is abort your cattle. You need to vaccinate. How long does a normal lepto vaccine last? 3 months. That's why you see dairies vaccinating them four times a year, five times a year. They're pumping the lepto vaccine to them. Pasteurella causes the vast majority of respiratory disease in cattle. So you get one of those viruses in the BRD complex up top, and it comes through and it destroys your animal's normal immune process defenses. And then Pasteurella moves in. Pasteurella is in the nose of all your calves. Okay? And then it moves in and kills your calves. We can vaccinate for it. We have some pretty good vaccines for it. Some of them take 28 days to take effect, and some of them take 24 hours. Depends on what you're trying to do. Then scours. What are scours? Anybody? Yeah, it's diarrhea. We can say the word. It's uncomfortable to talk about, but we can say diarrhea, so it's normally in calves. What if your cow has diarrhea? Yeah, it's a bad day, especially if you're trying to load her. But scours are important. We can vaccinate for them. We can control a lot of scours with just better management, better animal husbandry. You go back to your five welfare statements. You want to make your animal comfortable. If they're laying, sleeping, and standing in manure, are they going to get scours when they're newborns? Yeah. Hopefully that's not going on at your daycare center, but your kid would also get scours if he were in that environment. Sure, parts of them do. We have some vaccines that last for a year for one serovar, one type, lasts for a year. We got caught on that too because we gave that vaccine and told the client this lasts for a year. It does for that one variant. It doesn't for the other four, so it's cattle aborted from the other four. Go ahead. You need to come talk to my vet students that are at my clinic. This is a conversation we just had. So it's an ethics question. Did you all hear the question?
No.
So the question is this. You're going to sell a group of calves at the sale barn. You're all ready. They're really pretty. And one of them becomes ill, has scours, has a cough, is running a fever. So what do you want to do to your neighbor? Do you want to sell the calves? Do you want to isolate the one that's ill and sell the other four? Let's say there's five. What do you want to do as an ethical producer? It's a really good question. So it came up on a herd that we were working on where we had sold right at 30 Brangus bulls. And they were fixing to get on the bus and go to South Texas. And this was about a month ago. And they were nose-to-nose with some stocker cattle. You were the one that had bad neighbors. Yeah, they were nose-to-nose with some stocker cattle, and they all came down with runny noses and a cough. Okay? So what we did was we got on the phone and we called the buyer in South Texas. And we said, we're not shipping the cows. We're going to keep them until they're better. And he was actually very happy. So for you, ethically, what you should do is wait till you, remember we said you're going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem? You're going to wait till your veterinarian says these cattle are clear to sell. We've turned down entire potbelly loads of cattle because they were ill. You would want it. What if your bulls trick out? What if you have positive trick, you test your bulls, you got positive trick, and you got 14 open cows? What are you going to do with the cows? You can sell them to slaughter, right? That's ethical. You can do that. You're going to call your neighbor and say, I've got some 4-year-old cows that you really need? Maybe that bad neighbor. It's an option. I mean, whoever's recording this, let's strike that. Let's remove that. So you do have to be ethical in cattle production. I have had producers that recognized they had a genetic defect in their bull, in their Angus bull, and they sold their bull to their neighbor. Was that right? No, it's not right. Did you have another question? Typically not. There's an inspector at the slaughter plant that's going to be able to determine if the animal can enter the food chain or not. Who had a question? You had a question. Is it a nice question before you ask it? Okay, go ahead.
How young can your calves be to vaccinate them for these?
Let's go back. For these, it depends on the disease. Some of them, we don't want to interfere with mom's immunity, so we don't normally vaccinate our baby calves, beef cattle, until they're at branding, which is typically 3 months. Y'all write that down. Branding is at 3 months. 3 months. Now, are there times that we do that sooner? Yeah, there's some vaccines that we can use on day one. Scours, some of the respiratory diseases. That's how come you're going to sit down with your veterinarian and talk about what you want to do. Because those things can come out. Questions? More? How are we doing on time? Oh, we got to speed up, I think. Okay, parasite control. Parasites are not just worms. We have internal and external parasites. There are differences in how you deworm a young animal as opposed to how you deworm an older animal. There's some value in testing for fecal egg counts, and then we don't know what to do with the results. So we have a lot of drug companies come by, and they say, I'm going to come out to your herd, and I'm going to test all your cattle for free. Go ahead and do it. I mean, it gives you some information. We're just not sure what it all means. How many of you like pour-on dewormers? Okay. And y'all promised me there were no industry people in here, right? We don't like pour-on dewormers. Who gets more of the wormer? Your chute, your technician, the cow, the cowboy behind you? They're highly inaccurate, y'all. And they're about 70% as effective as an injectable or an oral. So you're already buying something that's less effective. And then you squirt it on the cowboy, right? That's why most of those guys are really thin. The gun. Okay, so I'm going to go right back to the whole discussion we had on entertainment. Yeah, it's still, how much does your cow weigh? Do you have a scale? It's not very, I know what you like to do. You like to walk around and squirt them and feed them at the same time, and then you've dewormed everybody. You can confess. It's okay. We all do that. I'm hurrying. I'm speeding up. Okay. Sit down and have a real deep discussion with your veterinarian, your rural veterinarian, about deworming your cattle. Strategically deworm your cattle. Leave some cattle that are not dewormed. Leave some cattle that are not dewormed. And I'm just going to put that out there, and then you guys can ask your veterinarian why. Okay? Smile. It's okay. Okay, nutrition. It's not just feed. It's water, mineral, salt. I need you to have shelter so they can use the nutrition that you're giving them, not just to stay warm, but to actually reproduce. Hygiene on your nutrition. You know, if there's a lot of rats in it, possums in it, if it's moldy, if it's old, if it's You can't even haul the round bale because it's dropping stuff all over the ground as you go. Do your cows want to eat it? What's BCS? Body condition scoring. All of you, every time you look at your cows, should body condition score them. It is your window inside of what's going on inside that cow. If they're really, really thin, you got a problem. If they're over fat, you're spending too much money. We want them to be a body condition score 5 when you're ready to breed them. Got my 5-minute warning? Okay, I'm hustling. So learn to do body condition score. There's a great app out of Nebraska. It shows you a picture, it tells you what it is, and you can compare it to your cow. Never use it in a meeting and have people stand up and body condition score people. That went really badly for me. I'm still a little shocked by it. Y'all got to keep good records. Calendars, drugs, everything you do on those cows should be written down, put in a tablet, put in an iPhone, put somewhere so that we can go back and see what you did. You need to ID every animal. We need to semen test your bulls, pregnancy test your cattle, and I don't care how you do it. We need to reprotract score your heifers. If you're going to turn a whole group of heifers loose to be bred by a bull and none of them are cycling, how lucky are you going to get? Yeah, not at all. Okay, and they have to have a bull to be bred. Y'all got it? I had one ranch have a really bad breed up in a group of cows, and then we remembered we did not put a bull with them. So there's body condition scoring again. By surgeries, I mean castration and dehorn. And then once again, testing for any diseases. Genetics. If you start with something that's really, really good, they're going to respond to all those vaccines a whole lot better. If you're buying some, and I don't mean this to be offensive, if you're buying some old, dried-up Corrientes and you expect them to respond, it's not going to work. Laramie's looking at me like, well, that's what we just did. Not going to work. You know, who asked about the environment? Somebody back here at one point in time, I think he left, he asked about what about where you're at geographically. It makes a lot of sense. Do you need to deworm as much in Marfa, Texas, as you do in Texarkana? They don't have any water, y'all. It's dry out west. You have to deworm more in East Texas. You'll get better lactation, better reproduction, and starting now, you're getting better disease resistance. So remember that you need the complete picture for your herd health plan. It's not just vaccines. It's not just what antibiotics do I give. It's building an animal that will respond to what you give it. It's building an animal that will produce for you and reach the goals. A healthy animal is less disease, more beef, and more money. And it's not all medicine and science. The vast majority of it is management. The vast majority of it is animal science, animal husbandry. It's what you learn at the TCU Ranch Program. You need to sit down with your veterinarian before you ever get in the cattle business. And you need to outline all of this. And then you'll have a plan to work from. Do y'all have any more questions? Okay, I can repeat them because I can't run around. Anybody have any questions? Yes, sir, go ahead. It's expensive, it's time-consuming, and you have to actually go out and do the work. You will be selling better cattle. And if you can get your neighbors to do it, then you'll have a group of cattle that you can sell.
Question. What happened to the guy with the head?
We actually caught 2 hind feet, and then we were able to get it off. Okay, killed versus modified live is a long conversation with your veterinarian, okay? And I support the modified live side of this. That's where I stand on it. It depends on, do you want to give a modified live to a pregnant cow? It depends on what you've done in the past. But it's a good question. Modified lives give a higher, tighter, and it's a lot quicker. Any other questions?
Your cattle
Right now, only in research that I know of. That I know of. Yes, sir. We've done both. And then also tick control is really important. And not moving cattle from a non-endemic area to an endemic area. So cattle that aren't used to the disease to a place where there is disease. We've used a vaccine, but it's very expensive. It's $20 a head by the time you get done. CTC and the minerals help somewhat. Yeah, it is. Not as expensive as the disease. Okay, anybody else? Y'all can come talk to me if you have any more questions. Thank you.
Okay, now we'll take a 30-minute break.